All right, welcome to our week four review here on AFC North Talk. I am Tony Serino. I will be representing the Pittsburgh Steelers for today's show. Want to welcome in my co-host real quick. Sonny is back on the show. Sonny, you were moving last week.
I didn't want to come here because we took an L, right? No. The guys knew I wasn't coming. We won or lost, it didn't matter. I moved to the other side of the world. So now I'm in Europe, I'm in quarantine. This is why the background looks different. Internet's crappy, so if my image looks horrible, I can do nothing about it because I'm in a rental. It is what it is. But hey, I'm here. I'll talk about that game for a little bit before we keep going. So
Sonny is now officially the biggest Ravens fan in Europe at this point.
We have a Ravens group in here.
Okay.
There's a Ravens group.
Also with us today, Ace from New Stripe City, who once again, as we said, he's interviewed AJ Green already. Tonight, he'll also be interviewing Carl Lawson. So, Ace, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
No, of course, man. This is the group. This is the squad. I definitely have to ask him a question about pressures. So, if you guys have any kind of question for him, let me know in the chat. But yeah, I'm happy to be here, and definitely happy because we got a first win of the season. So happy to be here.
I think Carl Lawson, by the way, leads the Bengals in sacks right now, doesn't he? So maybe this year he'll tell you, hey, I want to be evaluated this year on sacks, not pressures. Every other year, pressures. This year, let's go with the sacks. All right, then finally, we have Quincy Carrier. You can find him on YouTube searching Quincy Carrier. He's feeling good today. The 3-1 Cleveland Browns. I believe the last time the Cleveland Browns were 3-1 was 2004?
2001, baby.
I had a full head of hair. Tim Couch. And the last time the Cleveland Browns were at a 3-1 record, I had a full head of hair. Quincy, you must
be Tony. All right, Tony. All right, Tony. All right. All right there. First of all, I want to give a shout out before I get anything started about myself. To shout out to Ace, who is the Shams Charania of Bengals Universe. He is the Shams. Give him his credit. Put the respect on his name. Hey, whoa, Shams. Shams is younger. I'm going to give him Shams. I'm going to give him that. He got AirPods on 24/7 because he just be talking to players. Ace is that dude. Second of all, I'll give a shout out to Joe Nubo, who's in the chat. I just want to ask him, did Odell Beckham look like an AFC North receiver this week, baby? The Browns are 3-1. I'm feeling good. You see, I'm handing out some receipts, and let's just get into it, boys. Let's do it.
We're going to get into that one. That will, of course, be our marquee matchup. We'll talk about that one last because that was a big win for the Cleveland Browns this week. Do want to give a shout out here to the Trib who gave us a super chat. Thank you very much. If you guys want a question answered on the show, Super Chat is enabled. So go ahead over to chat, ask it there as a Super Chat. We will answer it here on today's show. Guys, the AFC North was undefeated this week. Of course, my Steelers had the week off. They had a COVID break, an early COVID break. It was impossible. The rest of the North won. Well, let's start though, Sonny, because you weren't here last week. And a lot of people accused you of, he's ducking the show. Absolutely not. Duck in the show. That is not who Sonny is. So let's talk, Sonny, just briefly here about that Ravens-Chiefs game. Obviously a very tough loss on Monday night.
Yeah, and if you follow me on my channel, you will see that I didn't post anything until Sunday morning, for you guys morning, a little bit. And I talk about that game. But look, that game, the Ravens got dominated, meaning Lamar didn't have a good game. The defense, the problem that we have with the defense was this. The only person that I've seen taking advantage of this is Patrick Mahomes. So we cannot generate pressure just rushing 4 or 5. Ravens can't right now. But they had have a great secondary. So if we win 4 or 5, then Patrick Mahomes is just sitting there. Even if our secondary is great with so much time, he was finding somebody open or he was just taking the check down and moving the ball. We did pretty good collapsing the run in between the tackles, but then they said, okay, let's just blitz. And when we blitz, there was two plays that killed us. The screen, and goddamn, Patrick Mahomes is good, man. He read what the blitz was coming, and he was just screening us out. Or he was just taking a shotgun and then just dropping a 5-step drop on a shotgun. So he's like 10 yards deep, just shucking it as far as he can. And the coverage was there. It's just the receiver just outrun it just by a little bit, and the throw was perfect. Right. So all those things just killed us. The offense was flat. We started the game with a great drive running the ball. For some reason, we went away from running the ball and we said, like, let's just throw. I don't know why. It wasn't like we said, let's keep running and they were stopping us. We literally just said, no more run. Let's just throw it. And obviously then three and outs happen, and then it went and cascaded through that. So I think it was bad coaching. I thought Lamar had a bad game. I cannot even evaluate the running backs, because the running backs, when they were running, they had a decent game. The receivers, Hollywood dropped two balls, but not only Hollywood, Andrews dropped three. One that was critical in the end zone. There was like, I mean, that would have put us, I think, by six or seven at that point. So obviously a game. So that was bad. A lot of drop balls. So Lamar had a bad game, but on top of that, receivers dropping the ball, I think it was five or six drops throughout the game. Obviously, that's not great. It looked like they were too antsy. They didn't look relaxed. Like, if we go to this game against Washington, they looked too relaxed, almost like they didn't care. They just woke up, let's play, and whatever happens, happens. But yeah, I thought the better team won. I mean, I cannot say, oh, we barely, or if we, no, the better team won. Ravens, maybe we're the second best team in the league, but we have to prove. But at this point, we cannot say we're the best team. Kansas City is not even, we're not even close. They're the better team.
Yeah. So. Well, it was certainly a tough loss on Monday night, but let's skip ahead now. We'll go to this Sunday's game, because if you wanted a nice palate cleanser, right, to get the taste of that Chiefs loss out of your mouth, well, the NFL gave you a nice dish of the Washington football team, and that was seemed like an easy one out there, Sonny.
Yeah, I was gonna tweet, we ain't gonna lose to a team that has no name. I was this close to tweeting that on Sunday morning, but I said like, nah, I'm not gonna tweet that. Anyway, look, that game was just, it felt too easy. Like my wife was telling you, looked at me like, you look bored. It's like, I mean, this game is just, I mean, they just had it to try. Oh, let's fake the punt. Oh yeah, let's boom, easy, right? They look like they were in a preseason game. Let's try this, let's try that. Lamar, let's try this, pull the left. They say, Orlando Brown, you haven't played left tackle in the NFL. Washington has a really good D-line, right? Even though they don't have my guy Chase Young, right? They still had Kerrigan and Monte Sweat, but they said, Fluker, you're going to play right tackle today. And Orlando Brown, boom, just throw you in the left tackle. Your first start is the left tackle. He played great in the left tackle. I thought the O-line, for the most part, held his own. And as soon as that happened, the game was over. Because that's our, on offense, that's their weakest position, right? The offensive line.
Yeah.
And Stanley took the day off. Again, I told you guys that I felt like anybody that had some of a tweak, the Ravens were like, you sit down. I don't think we need you for this victory. And the last 7 points of Washington score, there was some garbage time. I mean, RG3 came, he threw pass deep, he got picked. And then the second day, there was basically the bench players there, right? And we were thin, but it was very easy. I cannot even say like, oh, let me back. No, this game felt like there was a clear dominant team against a sub team, and that's how they got played.
We have another super chat from the trip again. Thank you very much. He says no easy passes for Lamar. A whole lot of easy from Holmes. I do think. Okay, so I will say this about that game. I mean, it did feel like Andy Reid schemed up a hell of a game plan from Holmes. The amount of misdirection that they were using, right? The underhand touchdown. They threw the fat guy touchdown. As far as the no easy passes for Lamar, though, I thought Lamar actually, look, he gets a bad rap in that game because there were a lot of drops. Much like that Titans game, right, there were a ton of drops. I don't think Lamar played great or even a good game, but I don't think he was as bad as the stats would have you believe because of how many drops there were in that game. Yeah. All right, Quincy, you know, Ravens, Washington, we talked about this last week, right? This felt like it was going to be a blowout. Is there anything to glean from this a week after watching this Ravens team struggle against the Chiefs?
Yeah, this is the hashtag beat that booty special. We primed this up already last week. We knew what this was going to be. Did Lamar throw two interceptions? I thought I read that right.
No, he threw one pick.
That's not a big deal. He's thrown one all season. That's not a big deal. All right, so because I thought he threw two, I was like, oh, that's a little bit.
No, are you threw the other one? There was two. Picks
okay, that's the two picks. All right, so. Also, one of the things I would love to just one of these narratives I was fighting in the preseason, I would love to eliminate. And I'm going to eliminate two in this one video. The first one is, oh, my God, can Jedrick Wills or somebody move from right tackle in college to left tackle? I think we've proven not that big of a deal. It's really not. Orlando Brown has been playing right tackle for like 2 years in the NFL, which is harder and then flip to left tackle, fine, against Montez Sweat. That's not an easy assignment. Right. I understand Chase Young wasn't there. That defensive line for Washington is not necessarily weak. So, yeah, let's never overrate that narrative again. It has a place, but it's not the overpowering thing that people were wanting it to be. But, yeah, Ravens look good here. Ravens should look good here. Ravens beat them down at home. I know it was in Washington, but that's a home game. Yeah. Y'all beat that territory.
It's a bus drive.
Yeah, that's y'all territory. Y'all claim that. Put the flag down like Baker. But, yeah. Yeah, nothing really to gleam there. Obviously, Baltimore is a much, much – they're in a different universe than Washington is at this point.
So, Ace, I know the Bengals are going to be playing the Ravens next week. So I'm sure, as a Bengals fan, you would have liked to seen this Ravens team maybe play a little closer with Washington, right? Struggle a little bit, maybe look more like the team against Kansas City, but that is not what happened.
Yeah, I think for me, I didn't expect that, especially, you know, with them losing against Kansas City. I think we thought that this was going to be what it ended up being. The only thing that kind of surprised me was that Dwayne Haskins didn't play bad. Like, I was kind of shocked by that, because coming off of the game that he had last week, I thought that this would be one where the Ravens would pick him off at least one or two times in this game. He actually played a solid game, but just wasn't enough. Like you guys said, this Washington thing going on, I'm not sure – you know, how they can really even get a game plan together, especially with their head coach going through what he's going through. You know, football kind of comes second. So definitely prayers up for him and everything like that. Hopefully everything bounces back with him. But this was business as usual. This is what the Ravens should have done. It shouldn't have been a close game at all, a definitive game. And like Sonny said, being able to do this and also rest key players in time for the matchup this week was definitely a smart move by the Ravens. So I think we saw what we expected here.
Let me add something real quick here.
Go for it.
So Haskins' numbers look good, especially his completion possessions, but all he did was dump and dump.
Check down, dump.
It was like, I think he threw like three or four passes deep, especially later. There was he completed two deep balls. Maybe up there. The rest, it was like 5 yards or shorter.
You want to know a stat about Dwayne Haskins that explains why every advanced metric thinks he's the worst quarterback in NFL in like the last 3 years? He averages the lowest amount of yards per attempt. Also has like a 55% completion percentage for the entire season.
No, there's talk right now that he may not start. I mean, you know, or at least he may get pulled at some point here. I know, Ace, you were talking about that last week. About him, you know, him getting pulled. That we're like a week away here from that.
If they want Trevor Lawrence, they ain't gonna pull.
Exactly. You know, you give Alex Smith the nod, let him get comeback player of the year. All right, Ace, let's stick with you, because we got to talk about the Bengals over the Jaguars. It finally happened. Joe Burrow gets his first win in the National Football League. Give me your thoughts on the game.
I really like this game. You know, obviously it's the Jaguars. I think some people discount how underrated they actually are. They obviously, they're a bad team. They are a one-win team, but I think a lot of people treat them like they're the Jets or the Giants, and I think that they're at least a grade above them. But in this game, what I really loved was, you guys heard me last week, I was talking about Zach Taylor. I hated the play calling. Obviously, the offensive line struggled, and I wanted to see some creativity, and I kind of was going in on Twitter about it and stuff like that, and that's what we saw in this game. Like, there was one point where T. Higgins took an end around. Tyler Boyd took one. There were a lot of creative plays. Joe Mixon was featured completely in this game. They actually went to him outside of the backfield in the passing game. So a lot of things that we saw this week was definitely a bounce back from the coaching staff itself. Things that I really liked that stood out here. One thing was, though, AJ Green, 3 yards. You know, he's not looking like, going into this game, everyone said, okay, if AJ Green isn't AJ Green in this game, then there's something going on here. And obviously, 3 yards did not put that to rest. There's a narrative going around now, but mid-game, I love what the Bengals did. They started targeting AJ Green. Once they saw that it didn't work, they started going to Tyler Boyd. They started going to T. Higgins, and I really like what I saw from those receivers. I really liked what I saw with Zach from his play-calling standpoint. And the defense, I loved what they did against the run. I was really going into this game getting flashbacks of what happened in Cleveland, right? Kareem Hunt killed us. Nick Chubb killed us. James Robinson, underrated player. I have him on my fantasy team. I was worried about it, especially when they said Geno was going to be out, Mike Daniels was going to be out, Logan Wilson was out. We had a lot of guys out. So I thought that he was easily going to run for 100 yards, and that Bengals defense was able to limit him to 75 yards. Now, that is somewhat misleading because he did have like a 15-yard run that he blew off to start the second half, but then Jacksonville got a penalty on that one. I think it was a hold. They got several other penalties after that and had to punt. Joe Burrow in this game, I know that people probably see the interception. That was not an interception. That's on Drew Sample. And that's why I made the video on Drew Sample that I did, because it should have been a touchdown, but it ends up being a situation where Miles Jack, who made an amazing play, taking nothing away from him, he takes it away from him there. So to me, it's not really an interception per se. And then he's got another pass that's actually to Tyler Boyd that should be a touchdown that is negated by a Trey Hopkins penalty. So outside of those miscues, he just was – on fire, and the Bengals were able to build a lead and stand on it. And I'm excited to see what they can do if that play calling translates into the next game, and if the offensive line, who gave up no sacks in this game, can continue to play that solid, especially with a guy like Alex Redmond, who I thought was going to be a disaster, clearly made me eat my words this week, coming from that practice squad after being cut with no preseason. I don't even know how he knew what was going on, but he stepped in and was solid enough. That says how bad Billy Price and Fred Johnson are if a guy can come in from the street and basically do that. But, yeah, definitely exciting. Glad to get that first win under Burrow's belt. And then Burrow also became the first quarterback in NFL history with three straight games of 300 yards. So Joe Burrow is real.
He's having a great rookie year. Quincy, your thoughts on the Bengals' first win of the year?
What did I say last week? One of the things I felt like was to the Bengals' detriment was the lack of use of Joe Mixon. Why weren't they using Joe Mixon a lot? What did you get in this game? Healthy dose of Joe Mixon. And how did they use Joe Mixon? A little bit even more important, they ran him out of single formation. They ran him from under center a lot more often than they have. And when you do that, the numbers seem to indicate that Bobby Hart's not that bad in those situations when it comes to run blocking. He can be protected. You can put a tight end next to him. He's not that bad in those situations. So they should probably do that more. One, it lets Joe Burrow get hit less. And two, it clearly allows Joe Mixon to be Joe Mixon, because last few games they've been running out of shotgun a ton, and that's been Joe Mixon getting stopped. Joe Mixon can't get here because their line can't block out of shotgun. It's kind of like known at this point. Now, I understand you don't want to play Joe Burrow under center when he's never been under center any time in his career. So I get why you have to do that, but run the ball a little bit more from those sets, and I think you'll be fine. The Bengals team, I've said this for a while now, I'm still going to continue to say this, is not a terrible team. People have this team pegged as 3 wins, 4 wins. I think they can easily get 6, if not 7, or finish, you know what, with now 7-7-1, because you have the one tie there, but finish around where that 2018 Browns team did. They remind me a lot of that team. So my takeaway from this game is that Joe Burrow continues to look good, continues to look really solid, and it seems like they're going to have some more support. That defense came back. And, you know, I know Ace mentioned he got some flashbacks of making it look bad as it did against the Browns. I'm just starting to think the Browns might be really good at running the ball at this point. But, you know, it's a good step for Cincinnati. They have a hell of a schedule coming up within the next few weeks. You got Baltimore, Pittsburgh all around in the bowl. I think Tennessee as well. So it's going to be a rough month for Cincinnati. But if they can get out of that month, I think they're going to have a strong finish to this season.
Sonny, your thoughts? Because the Bengals play the Ravens this week. We'll talk more about that game on Thursday. But it certainly feels like the Bengals are a team right now who, you know, just look, when you're a good team, you want easy wins. The Bengals are certainly not an easy out right now.
Mm-hmm. I think I picked the Bengals 3 out of the 4 games this week to win. So I'm happy that they got one, because I was like, damn, I can't keep picking them and they lose them. So, but look, there's something that is true about all 4 of the AFC North teams. They are all based on running the ball, play action, and pass. All 4. When the team, even the Steelers, Tony.
No, we don't run
the team,
in the league.
Well, I gotcha. But if you don't run the ball well in the AFC North, you ain't winning. You are not winning. I think all 4 teams are based on good, solid run game, and that moves the offense and opens the passing game. And I think, agree with Quincy, that's what they needed to do. They have a great back on Mixon. Most O-line, it's natural to want to run block over pass block. Run block, you're pushing forward, right? when you're pass blocking, you're holding your guy there. It's much more easier for that big guy to just run block. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying easier than just the pass blocking. So when your O-line is struggling a little bit, just running the ball helps them because that will open the play action. That holds that D-line, gets Burrow that extra second. And we already had talked about extensively that the Bengals essentially had the best weapons in as a core for Burrow. So I think they did it right. I know Jacksonville, man, they've given the most yardage, I think, of any team against a quarterback. But even that, Burrow has done it through against all of them, right? Against all the teams that he has faced, as Ace alluded to. So look, I think Burrow is for real. I never said that I didn't thought he was good. I thought the Baker was good as well. I think this is just a year for Baker. The only one that I criticize is Big Ben, but we don't have to talk about him this week. Anyway, I think what this shows also is the AFC North might be the hardest division in the entire league. If you think about what are the division right now, has three teams. I know the Bengals don't have a winning record, but they don't have under 500 record either, right?
Right.
Or
they
won.
Well, they're 1-2-1, so they are under 500 right now. But they're certainly not a team that you're going to
They're no pushover,
right? Yeah, they're no pushover.
But in NFC East is the worst. We can certainly say that.
They should all be relegated. NFC East right now.
They should be all be relegated.
NFC East is horrible, but the North right now. It's a serious division.
Yeah.
It's
the NFC West, NFC West, AFC North are the two.
Yeah.
Well, the NFC West is so injured.
That's the problem with the West right now. I would say the South probably between Tampa Bay and New Orleans, maybe. But if you want to put the one, I think we're 1A. The AFC North is for real. They're a challenge division. And the Bengals, as right now, the bottom team in the division, they haven't been any game that the Bengals haven't been in it.
Right. Right, so it's 4-1 score games now for the Bengals. I'm glad, Ace, that you're coming off the. You know, I know last week you were very frustrated with Zach Taylor and you know his play calling. And look, you know, it's easy, right? Because when you're playing these 1-score games, you take like a microscopic view of it, and it's like you know, one play here, one play there. Boy, we had a chance to win. But really, if you take a look at what this Bengals team does, you take the 3,000-foot view, right, of what this team has done this year with Joe Burrow, with a terrible offensive line. You just haven't done a great job of protecting him until this week. Joe Mixon wasn't a real part of the offense. AJ Green. I mean, the guy's not on the field. He's on a milk carton right now. He's nowhere to be found at this point. They got a defense that's a little suspect in places. And really, one of the strengths was supposed to be that defensive line, and that's been really injured all year. And you look at the fact that this team has been in every game that they've played, that Burrow is playing at such a high level. I think Zach Taylor's done a really good job. One other thing I want to point out about this game is it was pointed out to me over the weekend. I had a lot of time to dig into stats this weekend, but it was pointed out to me this weekend that the Bengals have one of the worst offenses in the league right now. And I saw that stat, and I said to myself, that cannot be true. Because I'm watching more Bengals football this year than I ever have in my life because of this show, okay? And I can tell you right now, the Bengals won't have a bad offense. It's just, it's not. You might put it like league average, but to say it's one of the worst is insane to me. So I started digging in, right? So by EPA, expected points, which I think is a good measure because it measures above average in you know, total sense. I think it goes back to like 2006. The Bengals have the 24th best EPA right now in the National Football League, one of the worst in the league, right? But if you put them in 2019, last year, they would be the 12th best offense in the league, which to me sounds a little more like where they should be. And I think it speaks to the idea that what we're watching right now is a league that is so insanely dominant on offense that we have to reevaluate what we see on a week-to-week basis, okay? The Bengals right now are not playing bad offensively, but they are one of the worst offenses because the best offenses in the league right now are so far and away from what we've seen. If you took checked out this, if you go back, that Ravens team a year ago, one of the best offenses I've seen, right? I mean, Lamar Jackson dominant, right? Take that offense by EPA, their EPA per play, put them in the 2020 NFL right now. They're not even a top five offense in the NFL right now. That's how much scoring and offense has taken over this game right now. It's just crazy to me. And even I was looking at the QBR stuff. I mean, I know Quincy, you pointed out QBR stuff in the past. Burrow right now has a QBR of 53, but he's 24th in the league. He's one of the worst. 50 is supposed to be average. And it's because if you know, you look at QBR and the best QBRs of all time.
Yeah. Like right Patrick now, Mahomes 2018 was like 80.
Yeah. This year, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen are all having the best quarter QBR seasons ever ever. And Russell Wilson's having the eighth best season of all time. So that means four of the top 10 QBR seasons of all time are happening right now. It's an insane year for the NFL.
Let me
specifically for offense.
Let me say this also about the Bengals. The Bengals are a legit O-line away for being a serious problem in the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, right.
Yeah.
I think this is what Cleveland did this offseason, right? We talked about it before the season started. They bolstered the O-line because I thought that was one of their biggest weaknesses. They brought two tackles and look where they are right now. So I think next year specifically, it doesn't matter where they finish, the Bengals, next year they have to come in and say, we're going to spend and draft the O-line. They need to, because if Burrow is the future, which we all think it is, that's where the money and capital needs to be invested.
Right. One thing that I will say is the last two games, Jonah Williams has cashed in two good, solid back-to-back performances. So Jonah has, it seems, has taken that step. But back to the point about the AFC North in terms of it being the strongest division in football, if you're going by PFF, and obviously we can use Football Outsiders and other sources and stuff like that, these teams are all in the top 15 of the NFL. There's no other division on here, when you look at it, that have those teams stack up as closely as all of these teams in the AFC North, with the Browns at fifth, the Steelers at 11th. Or no, I'm sorry. Ravens at 11th, Steelers at 12, and Bengals at 13. I mean, that right there tells you all of our teams are in the top half of the league. So, yes, the AFC North is the best division in football.
Yeah, I mean, it's right there.
Browns are at 5? Oh, you shouldn't let me know that.
I will say, though, I don't like using PFF to grade teams because, again, it's grading individual performances. It's an evaluation of players. Yeah. But regardless, let's just move on. Let's talk about the Browns, because I know Quincy, we're only a half hour in. So you've got 15, 20 minutes to just go on one of your rants here. And you should, because this is a Browns team that, you know, I know I've already seen it in the chat. People are saying like, oh, just because Dallas is bad. Quincy, this was a very good Browns win. They put up a nearly a 50 spot on the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. Your thoughts on Cleveland's win?
Remember, they did that with three active wide receivers and no Nick Chubb, who's the best running back in football, which tells you it's shocking. They can put up almost 50 points just by running the ball a lot. That's pretty shocking. But the first thing I want to point to is one of the things you talked about, right? We blew past the reality of what we're living through when it came to the pandemic, right? Because during the pandemic, what were we worried about? First-year head coaches in offense. Yeah, right. Were those offenses going to be able to get together? Were the offenses going to be able to get right? Were the first-year head coaches going to be, Kevin Stefanski, first-year head coach, it's got to be bad. I told y'all, it's not going to be the problem. The problem is the law of football, and the law of football is less practice time, worse tackling. And those things are combining upon each other with miscommunication in a lot of secondaries. Yes. It's not just in Cleveland. And it's a point explosion for the NFL right now. I expect that to come back to earth probably like week 10. But that's just going to be what it is until then. So it's a point explosion right now. And people can say Dallas, Dallas isn't good here. What we knew about Dallas that was atrocious was their pass defense. We knew that. The Browns didn't even attack that. The Browns went at their run defense, which was ranked 12th and 15th respectively on both DVOA and Pro Football Focus, so top half of the league units. And the Browns ran at Jalen Smith, ran at DeMarcus Lawrence, ran at Aldon Smith at will, whenever they wanted, with whoever they wanted. And that is significant. That is terribly significant, because in years past, when the Browns had a strength, we would always be like, well, what happens when we match up with somebody who goes well against that strength? Last week, you matched up with Washington, who doesn't do much well, but they do have a good defensive line. You're still able to do your thing. This week, you match up against Dallas, who has a decent enough run defense. You're still able to do your thing. And going into these next 2 weeks, it's going to be a real test for this Cleveland Browns run game, because you're going up against Indy, who's probably the best defense in the NFL, and Pittsburgh, who has the best defensive line in the NFL as far as edge rushers. So you're going to go against the best interior rush and edge rush back-to-back weeks to test this offensive line. But that's the carry. That's the takeaway I have from this game. This offensive line, they're really good. and they weren't pushing around bums against Dallas. As much as people want you to believe it, they weren't pushing around bums. They were pushing around DeMarcus Lawrence like toys, just getting through him, getting at it with whoever they want. Dontrell Hilliard got yards here. D'Ernest Johnson, who was in the AAF for the Orlando Apollos under Steve Spurrier, only got discovered by the Cleveland Browns because Garrett Gilbert was somebody they were evaluating to bring in as a third quarterback. Brought in by mistake, somehow found a way to get on this team after being in the AAF, a league that did not exist 2 years ago, and has now rushed for 95 yards against Dallas. Also, home game for Dallas. This was on the road. This is in Dallas. And can we talk about the number of great performances the Cleveland Browns have put up in a road ever? Like, I don't know of them. I think there's, what, Baltimore last year? And then what, Baltimore in 2002 when they beat them on the road in overtime to get to the playoffs. Like, that, it's always Baltimore. So this year it wasn't Baltimore on the road. And it's not always Baltimore. It's just been Baltimore twice in 20 years. But let me not get carried away here.
Hey, it's your week, man. It's your week. Live it up.
But that's what I've learned, is that the Browns have a legitimate strength. They are probably the best. I don't know what the advanced metrics are, but I would say confidently the Browns are the best run team in the NFL at this moment. They can block the best. They have the best offensive line, the best running back room. It is absolutely something that they can do against any team and be able to do well. You saw Odell Beckham get involved. That was really nice to see there. Jarvis Landry threw a touchdown to him. Baker threw a touchdown to him. And he ran for a touchdown by the skin of his butt cheeks at the end of that game there and proved that he is Odell Beckham at the end of that. So it's nice to see good things come from your stars. Now, as far as his defense is concerned, they have an issue on their defense. Most teams in the NFL right now have an issue on their defense. The issue with the Browns defense is they can get pressure with their front four, but they're not deep. And I talked about this all offseason. They're not deep there. That's why I wanted Mike Daniels to be signed. That's why I wanted Jadeveon Clowney to be brought in. I wanted more bodies to this rotation, because what's happening is once they get tired, you have to take off Myles Garrett or Larry Ogunjobi or Sheldon Richardson. Then you have to put in the bums, and the bums, you have to aid with the pass rush and blitz with the bums in there. And no disrespect to the bums, but they're just not Myles Garrett. Like, you know, so you have to blitz there. And when you have to blitz, the secondary just doesn't have enough speed in the back end to keep up with anybody. You know, Sadejo's not fast. Carl Joseph is not fast. And Ronnie Harrison is even slower, so he's not really as fast.
He's in the box, guy. Keep him in the box, please.
Yeah, he runs at 40. Please don't tell me to play free safety. If you're worried about Sadejo not being able to get in position, because he'll be worse. And that's happened twice. He's got beat for two touchdowns deep twice whenever he's on the field. So he really can't see the field in that capacity. So what is Sheldrick Redwine, maybe? I think they either need to get a fast free safety before the trade deadline, or get more bodies on that defensive line, and then they'll be more settled in there. But with this defense, you do have the good players. Like, you have a bad unit overall, but you have star players. Denzel Ward has been playing like a star throughout this season. Myles Garrett has been out of this world. Three strip sacks already. Like, most people don't even get two in a season. He has three, a ton of pressures. He's been an absolute monster, been worth every penny of that $125 million so far in the first four games of that contract. So Myles Garrett, absolutely been dominant, and he can make a play. Denzel Ward can make a play if teams dare to throw at him. Terrence Mitchell can even make a play on the other side. So with the defense, that's what you need out of them until you can get things settled. Can this defense get those turnovers? Because if this defense gets its turnovers as well as this team can run the ball, ain't nobody stopping that. You know, you can win games like that, and that happened against Dallas. They got the turnovers against Dallas. They got the turnovers against Washington. They didn't even get turnovers against Cincinnati, but they were able to pound it in the fourth quarter to put them away. So this is what the Browns are really good at. This is what they can do. They're a 3-1 team, and I feel like they are a really earned 3-1 team. You know, Washington's probably the biggest layup that they've had, but you're not going to convince me. And I'm not directing this at Tony, because Tony's not one of those filler fans who would dare to do this.
What?
But there have been those who have been in my mention of like, well, this is the same as, you know, the Steelers beating Dallas and New York. And I'm like, not Dallas and New York, Denver and New York.
Well, I mean, here's what I'll say to that, right? Because, you know, I've heard a lot of this as well. And by the way, I want to put this super chat back up because this is a Ravens fan who's saying this. And I think with the Ravens, look, I'm not going to speak for Ravens fans here, but what I will say is, I think what you're saying is hurry up and get Case in there to screw it up, because right now this Browns team offensively is putting up points. And I don't want to hear, I mean, this is the same thing that gets said about the Steelers, right? Look, I'm tired of hearing every analysis of this game is always, it's just one thing, right? It's just Dallas is bad. Dallas' defense is bad. You know, look, I love soccer's my second favorite sport, right? I like Tottenham. Tottenham is always known as like a perennial loser in soccer. They played Manchester United this weekend. Manchester United, like the biggest club in Europe. They're on the downswing right now, but they've been perennial winners, right? Tottenham won that game 6-1 this weekend. 6-1. That's like 42-7 in football terms. Okay, you turn on any soccer station to get analysis of that game. All the analysis is about what happened to Manchester United. Why is Manchester United so bad? What happened there, right? It's the same crap I hear about this Browns-Cowboys game, as if what the Browns did was just show up and the Cowboys were so bad.
But they're always going to talk about the Cowboys because that's what the media loves, yeah, man.
I hear this from Steeler fans as well, right? And what gets me about this is all the criticisms you could say about the Browns right now, which is, oh, yeah, their offense is doing well, but against who, right? And the same criticisms you could make of the Steeler defense. Sure, their defense looks good, but against who, right? But my thing is execution matters, right? Execution matters. What impressed me about this win by the Browns was that they ran the ball whenever they wanted to with whoever they wanted to. Dearness Johnson was the most efficient runner they had on Sunday. Not Nick Chubb, not Kareem Hunt. That is not talent. That is scheme and that is execution. Okay. And that is about coaching. That is about Kevin Stefanski. And that is what this team has been lacking. And I went on the big rant in week one about how you can't evaluate this team because every year doesn't matter who's the players, right? It's always the same. No, this is a different Browns thing we're watching now, right? They could have lost to Washington last week. They had a chance to blow that game. They were down in that game. They came back. They won that game. They had a chance at the end of this game to blow this one as well, right? And they didn't. They won this football game late with big plays. That's something we have not seen. That's a different thing we're seeing in Cleveland right now. And to this idea that, oh, Dallas's defense is so bad that you can't evaluate this, who is a good defense right now? Show me in the National Football League a good defense. There are exactly four. There is Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, and San Francisco. That's the list. As I said, when you have an offensive explosion, well, the other thing that happens is you have no defense play in the NFL. So if the argument is, well, the Browns will come back down to earth when they start playing good defense, I'm sorry. There are no good defenses. I mean, there are like four. So, spare me with that crap. Anyway, I don't mean to go on a rant here. I just
appreciate it. You could join the party this week, Tony.
I mean, it's just so ridiculous to me. Like, this was a good win. You can call a good win a good win.
Let's be honest.
It's wild to me, too, that people have rushed to make this about the Cowboys. And it's like, it's just kind of like hilarious to me that each week, every team the Browns play can't stop the run. And every week, it's the other team. Oh, why can't they stop? Maybe the Browns are just good at running the ball.
Right, this is what I'm saying.
They just execute at a really high level at doing this. Like, people are trying to do calculus when all you have to do is simple algebra. One plus one equals two in this situation. If you have a top five offensive line and you have Nick Chubb and then off the bench, Kareem Hunt,
bad offenses don't score 50. Okay, it's like week one. I was like, oh, the Giants offensive line is so bad. I'm sorry. Okay, bad defenses don't hold a running back to -6 yards, whatever they held Saquon Barkley to, right? That just doesn't happen. It's just
by the way, this is a Cowboys team that came back for like 23 points in a half against
Atlanta.
They gave up an 18 point. This is a little bit different. They gave up like 20 points in a quarter to that in this passing offense.
Look, let's be honest. I think sometimes we do get into and we forget what is the ultimate goal at the end of the game is you get the W, right? Yeah. And the Browns did what they needed to do to get that W. They were up big and the Cowboys made a late push, but you know what? Didn't matter if they won by a point. At the end of the day, you won. After every game at this point, other than Kansas City, which had looked minus one game flawless, all the other teams after every game, we all have a bunch of mistakes that we're like, okay, we need to correct this, this, and this, right? I think every single team in the NFL is like that. And with no preseason, look, in theory right now, everybody work on their fourth game, which is your fourth preseason, which is when you finish evaluating. like I said earlier, all AFC North teams are run, and that opens the path. And I said this with the Browns weeks ago, right? And with the Bengals, and I still think the Steelers, and I think the Browns, when we evaluated the every position before the season started, I said the Browns had the best combo of running backs, right? Chubb and Hunt. Hunt, for me, was when the Chiefs were on their peak, was when Hunt was there. And now they're funder Hunt right now on CEH. So Hunt is an incredible back. And Chubb, I mean, look what Chubb did last year, right? So saying all that, that helps Baker. And the third thing, which for me was the key of the Browns this year. And people say, like, Sonny, you're always talking about O-lines. O-lines are, like, one of the most critical things. You don't want to talk about them, right? Nobody wants to talk about the O-line. But when you don't talk about your O-lines, because your O-line is doing a hell of a job. I think the Browns could easily be the best O-line in the entire league. Coughlin is playing well. Wells is playing well. And the interior is playing really good right now. So the Browns right now overall on the offensive side, predicated with a great O-line, outstanding running game, that just makes the life of Baker that much easier. And he has weapons. He has weapons. He has Odell. He has Hooper. He has Landry, right? Now, I do want to mention this. Odell just needed to play NFCs to break out, right? He needed to go back to his roots.
Wait till he gets them back-to-back games in New York. That is going to be
Well, yeah, that's the other New York team, right? But the NFC East, man, NFC East, I'm not saying that just because they're bad, but I'm saying Odell against the NFC East. It was a perfect story. America's team, let me show you. I used to beat you when I was in the crappy Giants. I'm in this team, the Browns, that I think is going to be a good team. I thought they were going to be a playoff team. Boom. He killed it, breakout game. He did it on the run. He did it on the catching. He was a weapon. He was clutch, right? He sealed that game. With that comeback, he sealed that game. So I think it was great game call on offense by the Browns. I agree with all you guys. I think the Dallas defense is soft. A soft defense can allow 30 points, right? 20-something, up 30 or 34, around between 27 and 34. That is what a bad defense usually allows. Almost 50 points. That was a destruction by the part of the Browns on offense. That I don't care how – yeah, I don't care how bad that defense was. 49 points is outstanding and on the road.
307 rushing yards they gave up. This week.
It was great. It was just
a little padded by OBJ's run at the end, but still, I mean, rushing yards are rushing yards. Yeah, I mean, you're not taking them away.
He did need it. Yeah, and it did count. And also, one of the things I want to hit at is because I've heard this. You know, the guy came in with the super chat about Case Keenum. This boggles my mind still that people are still out here asking for Case Keenum on this team, and it's like you think Baker Mayfield's a bottleneck, but you don't know if he's a bottleneck, but you know Case Keenum is a bottleneck. And also the thing is, like, well, people like Case Keenum because he knows the offense a little bit better. He can make some quicker decisions, but we know he's not as talented as Baker Mayfield. Why in the world do you just not want Baker Mayfield to chill out, run the ball a lot, have a couple hundred yard games, and learn the offense so then he can use that arm talent to get the ball to Odell and make those quick people want to play
anything at 3-1?
Yeah, there's no reason to make any change. If you're the Browns right now, you don't make any change.
It's just because some Browns fans are very used to being dysfunctional. Yeah. And they just, they're 3-1. They're like, we got to act like we're 1-3, right, guys? But even at 1-3, we don't go 1-3. We're normally 0-4 at this point in the season. So, like, this is just growing pains there. But, yeah, good, huge credit to Kevin Stefanski for just deciding, you know what, I know Dallas has a weak secondary. I just think we could run the ball against anybody. We're going to pound it. 300 yards on the ground. 300. When's the last time a team's done that in the NFL in regulation? That has to be quite a while since somebody.
Baltimore probably did it last year.
Baltimore had to have done it. Yeah.
I think so, probably.
Yeah. But 300 rushing yards on the ground without the MVP, because I don't think anybody on this offense is going to win MVP this year for the Cleveland.
It was impressive. It was impressive. Yeah, no show.
You think that lowly of Dearness Johnson here? I mean, come on. This guy looks like a star.
Comeback player of the year, baby.
All right, Ace, we spent this entire time. I mean, we're just loving on the Browns too much here. Please give me a hot take. Give me some reason why we can hate on this team.
I think, last week I was the only one questioning the Browns, and I felt like this was going to be a game where they had to make a statement and let people know that the last two games weren't a fluke. And I think I was about a week late on what the Browns are – or a week early, I'm sorry, about what the Browns should do. Because if we go all the way back to the Ravens game, what they're doing now is exactly what I said that they should do, right? Establish the run, run their offense through the run, and let that open up the pass. And that's what they're doing. The most impressive thing to me outside of the 49 points is that they were able to score 49 points, and Baker Mayfield only threw for 165 yards. Like, that is mind-boggling that they put up that many points with him not doing that. And I think that this proves that the Andy Dalton diet for Baker works, right? Don't put him in situations where he has to turn the ball over or has to play hero ball. And they're riding that, and they're doing very well at it. I also like the introduction of the trick plays. I said that I thought Baker needed to throw at least three touchdowns last week. Well, Baker threw two, Jarvis Landry threw one. And so, like, when you put it from that perspective, this is the Browns team that we imagined, or this offensive team of the Browns is what we imagined when they first got here. And as Quincy has talked about, as we have all talked about, this Browns offensive line is good. It's very good. And they're showing every week, week in, week out. It doesn't matter if you put me back there, I might run for 5 yards per carry against any defense with this Browns offensive line that they have there. So I love to see what they're doing there. Stefanski is doing an outstanding job. This is why they hired him. This is what he wanted to run his offense like. And then on the defense, I mean, I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, the Cowboys defense and this and that. Anybody else in here that's not a Browns fan, did your team ever score 49 points this season? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. 49 points is 49 points. I don't care who it was on. It's a W, and this solidifies the Browns as a serious contender this season going forward.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing I want to say about this team, about this Browns team, is you know, we talk about bad defenses. And look, the Browns defense is suspect. No, I mean, like I've said, there are only four good defenses. I believe, by the way, that Washington, by DVOA, Washington is like the fifth best defense right now, but their EPA is positive, which means
the NFL, you have to score points. Like, do the Chiefs have an amazing defense? No, they don't. They won the Super Bowl. Who cares? Like, it's right, an offensive league now.
I knew league-wide defense was bad when I saw coverage defenses. I looked at it. I clicked to the bottom. I'm like, yo, the Browns should be at the bottom of this. 14th. Oh God!
Right? Yeah, no, there's no good pass defense. But I'll tell you what the Browns do. In a league where there's no defense, well, then you have to evaluate it in some other way. Turnovers. Getting turnovers is huge, and this Browns team, I believe, leads the NFL right now in turnovers. And like you talked about, Quincy, it's because Myles Garrett is having a fantastic year. If they can continue to get pressure on the quarterback like that, they will continue to get strip sacks or interceptions the way they've done the last couple weeks. And when you put that with an offense right now that is clicking. How many points off turnovers they have in this game? I believe it was 14 at least 14, and they had 10 last week. That's 24 turnovers, 24 points off turnovers in these games. That's winning football, especially in a league where, you know, it all comes down to it's just a shootout, right? Whoever has ball last, well, you're getting turnovers, you get the ball more than the other team, that helps you win these games. So I was impressed with the Browns this week. I was, and I know I'm supposed to come on here and hate on, and Quincy and I are supposed to yell at each other.
I think your second team is the Browns.
I'll just
embrace it at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess so. They got greedy Williams. I mean, that won my heart over originally.
We all know. Look, Sonny secretly cheers for the Steelers. Tony secretly cheers for the Browns. I secretly cheer for the Bengals, and A secretly cheers for the Browns. We all know this. Look.
All right, listen.
Midwestern solidarity here. We just don't like, you know, the Ravens, who are on that East Coast. We're like, nah. We're gonna keep it in the Rust Belt.
All right. So that'll do it for today's show. If you want to listen to this in podcast form, you can find it. Go to Spotify, go to iTunes, wherever you find podcasts, search AFC North Talk. You can find this in audio form as well. We do this every Tuesday and Thursday, 5:45 p.m. Eastern Time. So we'll be back here on Thursday to preview Week 5. My Steelers back in action, all four teams in action. And we have a division match this week, Ravens-Bengals, coming up this week. So we'll preview that on Thursday.
Don't forget to go to Ace's channel. He has the big interview after this. So go hit my boy's channel.
That's right.
Definitely. Definitely. We'll be interviewing Carl Lawson here at 7 p.m. Just got confirmation from him that that is a go. So you can check that out at New Stripe City. I'm still going to ask him possibly about the pressure. So we'll see if
pressure
I can
make that. What's
a better valuation, sacks or pressure? He's going to say sacks.
Actually going to have.
He's got 3.5. He's got 3.5.
I think
whatever
he's
the language in his contract is.
We'll see.
Let me check my agent real quick.
You doing pressure. Oh, sack. Yeah, sacks. Sacks. I got to
finish. All right. We're going to wrap this thing up. Before we do, Sonny, let people know where they can find your work.
SCG Sport everywhere, YouTube, Facebook, IG, and Twitter. SCG Sport, obviously, here every Tuesday and Thursday. Next Thursday is the preview. So come check us out. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe. Hit that bell so when we go live, boom, you get notified.
Ace, where can people find your work and your interview with Carl Lawson coming up?
First, I just want to say it feels good to have Sonny back. I'm glad that you're back, bro. Appreciate that for sure. And it feels normal again for sure. But you guys can find me at New Stripe City for sure. And you can also find me on Twitter at New Stripe City as well.
Quincy, we got a super chat for you here. Dog check from John here says, good show, fellas. Let people know, Quincy, where they can find more Browns work on YouTube.
You can find me on youtube.com/QuincyCarrier. And you can find me recklessly screaming at strangers if the Browns end up finding a way to win these next two games in a row. Y'all won't want nothing to do with me after that. Let's see what happens down there. But again, find me at youtube.com/QuincyCarrier. That's where you'll find all my content, NFL, Browns, training camp, all the kinds of coverages that you like. If you like what I do here on this channel, subscribe to this channel and then subscribe to my channel. And then subscribe to Sonny's channel and subscribe to Ace channel. Don't be selfish. Show the love. It's free.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find me on Locked On Steelers every Tuesday. So check that out. It's a daily podcast on the Locked On Network. Chris Carter does a great job hosting that, and I am on Tuesdays. And then, of course, you can find me here every Tuesday and Thursday talking with my boys about the AFC North. Like I said, we do this on Tuesday and Thursday, so subscribe, hit the bell, and you'll get notified when we go live. And we'll be back at you on Thursday to preview Week 5 right here in the AFC North. Thanks for watching.
Hey, Sonny, do we get to have big trust now since we're the best run game?